When you finish listening to this audio version, you should be able to answer the questions that appear on the written version of this class. The downward trend continues. Between 1804 and 1915, Haiti's political legacy was made crystal clear. Dessalines had been assassinated. Christophe had committed suicide in order to avoid being assassinated. And Boyer had been overthrown. But at least Christophe and Boyer had remained in power for several years. By contrast, during the 70-year period between 1845 and 1915, there were 22 heads of state. Only one served out his complete term. All of these decades of political instability, nearly 100 years since independence, made it nearly impossible to achieve any worthwhile social progress. The Haitian country, the Haitian people, continued a downward trend that words cannot capture the essence of. Meanwhile, the British, French, Germans, and Americans were anxious to use Haiti to their commercial and military advantage. None of them were the least bit concerned about promoting Haitian stability or helping the Haitian people. It was as if they not only wanted to ruin Haiti, they wanted to use this woeful condition as a statement that all black nations are destined to fail, are destined to fall into political disarray and economic poverty. The United States used the Monroe Doctrine, a policy meant to prevent European intervention in the Western Hemisphere, as a justification for invading Haiti in 1915. The fact that the Monroe Doctrine was not a Haitian law, the fact that U.S. intervention was not intended to benefit Haiti, and the fact that Haiti did not ask for U.S. intervention were of no import as far as the United States was concerned. The Haitians bitterly opposed their presence, but the Americans took control away and remained for 19 years. While there, the United States made every important governmental decision in the country. The Haitian Constitution was rewritten, and the articles forbidding foreign ownership of land in Haiti was revoked. The U.S. created a Haitian army to police the citizens of Haiti. This proved to be a serious blow to Haitian democracy because whoever controlled the army would eventually control the people and come to control the Haitian government. In 1957, François Papadoc Duvalier was elected president of Haiti in an election controlled by the military. In order to protect himself from a military coup, he created the Tonton Macoutes, a personal police force that terrorized his political opponents and came to have more power than the military. Duvalier changed the Haitian constitution and declared himself president for life. Duvalier was a ruthless dictator, and Haiti became the poorest country in the world. In 1971, Papadoc died, leaving the country under the control of his son, Jean-Claude. In 1986, Jean-Claude resigned and left the country. His departure pleased most Haitians, but did not bring about political or economic stability. There were four military coups in the next 5 years. In 1991, Jean-Bertrand Aristide was elected president of Haiti. He was quickly overthrown by a military coup orchestrated by the United States government. In Aristide's absence, René Préval was elected president. In February 2001, Aristide returned and became the first democratically re-elected president of Haiti. Again, Aristide was removed from office by white power countries, the United States, Canada, and France, this time without the pretext of a military coup. Thus, 200 years of Haitian history has passed since independence, but barely a thing has changed. In the year 2004, Haiti was pretty close to where it was in the year 1804. Yet, Haiti's people are better off than most former slaves because they have their own nation, a fact that opens the door to a myriad of positive progressions and possibilities. However, white power countries and governments are today just as intent on keeping Haiti from acquiring any degree of political or social normalcy as they were 200 years ago.